as we're more self-led, and we'll find out what it is for us. And I'm still finding out. And this is what I'm hoping for people who read the book, that they just get really encouraged to take that, to take that next step for themselves. You know, where else might they use IFS? Or else might they introduce it? You know, where might they apply it that they haven't done before?
Hello, Emma and Helen. Thank you both so much for joining me today. I am so excited to be able to sit here with both of you and talk about your book. So welcome.
Thank you.
And I know we were just chatting for a bit because I'd like to share with the listeners where we're each at in the world in this moment in time as we are recording this conversation. I am in the state of Kentucky in the United States. It is currently a little after 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Emma, do you care to share, where are you currently in the world?
I'm currently in Devon in the southwest of England, and it's shortly after 7 p.m. GMT on a Friday night.
And Helen, what about you?
Oh, I'm in Queenstown, New Zealand. Beautiful backdrop behind me, right next to the lake, and I can hear the waves lapping on the side. But there's also a bit of a breeze coming up here, so a chance I might have to move in if it starts to rain. So first thing in the morning for me, around 8 a.m.
8 a.m. on Saturday. So you're in the future.
That's right.
A part of me wanted to ask before we logged on. I was like, I really want to ask her, what's it like in the future? Well, yes, I'm so grateful that the three of us were able to coordinate this, coordinating those three very different time zones. So thank you both so much for being open to doing this and being willing to make this work in all of these different time zones. So I'm excited to get diving into the book. And for the listeners to know, the book that we're talking about is called Freeing Self, IFS Beyond the Therapy Room. And this one came out recently. When did it come out?
End of October last year. So that's 2023.
And we did a launch at the Colorado IFS Global Conference. So that was our kind of, you know, our coming out party, so to speak.
Well, that's a great way to have a coming out party, is at the conference itself. Yeah, so it's fairly new. Like you said, it was out October 2023. And it's a beautiful book filled with wonderful chapters and authors. And I'm excited to talk to you both about your journey and experience and putting it together and having it be created. And so I like to start with, when I know people are directly connected with IFS, I would love to ask each of you how you both got to be connected with internal family systems and to hear a little bit about that journey, if you would care to share.
Yeah, I've just been sitting here taking a moment around that, because my struggle in this book was actually my own chapter, I have to say. So I had trouble reading my chapter. I had trouble writing it, and then I had trouble reading it. When I wrote it in one sitting, and then I didn't look at it again for weeks. So consequently, I was the last one to submit my chapter in. And Emma will remember that, waiting for my chapter. I think, for my part, the reason for that is it's such a big story internally for me, and then I was popping it into these, you know, one or two or three sentences. And it's a little bit the same for me today, to summarize something that has been so huge in my life and all that it means and all that I now feel in relation to that. It's really big, so I'm struggling to come up with the words.
Yeah.
But I'll start. I've been running a pretty significant business across country. So it's my own business, business consulting. And I have a skill in areas around working with people in really complex and highly charged settings. Often it's around things that really matter for a community or for health services, for example. And it's been intensive work that I've been very successful in. And I've been successful by being professional, by being highly resilient, by, you know, having a skill around reading the room and knowing what to do in a given setting, and by taking a lot of flack that in New Zealand we describe as flack coming back at me, because often I'm introducing change or trying to bring people to some kind of an agreement. And the before IFS, I was doing very well in my work, but there was quite a high personal toll that I was experiencing on myself and on my health. And it was over years. And I'm more aware now that I was coming to a point where it was too much. You know, I was, although I could do the job, I was still being successful. People probably didn't see the impact that was happening. But afterwards, after I'd have a high conflict meeting, or if I'd have a time where I was on the stage and I was, you know, navigating through to an agreement, I would hit a period myself where I felt like I was a failure, like I couldn't do it, that, you know, I felt like I was a sham in my work. And I would have to pick myself up, and the criticisms that had been flung at me in the course of the work really stuck. And I felt them and heard them and believed them. And while I looked resilient and had a great mask on the outside, it was more to do with having an incredibly astute management layer. So my managers worked hard. They worked hard to get me where I was, to keep me going and to be successful in my work. And I reached a point where I was encountered an illness. So I had an illness and it was life-threatening. And it pulled me up in my tracks. But me being me, I dug in I decided not only would my clients not know that I was sick, but I would get through the surgeries and I would recover. And during that time, I would complete I was running 11 projects simultaneously. I'd complete all 11 and I would secure a new work during it. So that was my goal. And it was to do this from the hospital bed and, you know, initially set myself up, and I did it, you know, I achieved it. I was like, oh, man, look at me go. But the exhaustion levels now are getting high. The managers are working and so much of my system has been ignored now for years and years, and is just insisting on having its day. And I came down a second time, and this time it was kind of ambiguous. So it was a melanoma, which, if people know that particular illness, you never really know where that one's going to land. So it was life-threatening once more. And this time it hauled me up in my tracks and I felt completely undone. It's like, I can't do this. I can't go on. I can't keep doing what I'm doing. I'm stopping right here. And I went and knocked on my friend's door and I was, Karen, I'm over it. This is it. I'm done. I've got nothing more to give. I can't pull it. I can't pull one out of my back pocket one more time. I just can't do it. I've had a lifetime of it and I can't do it now. And she said, well, look, I've got this new, you know, book. And it was Jay Early's IFS, you know, self-help, do it your own way type thing. And so she said, do you want to have we go? So she flicked to the right chapter. And while her son was walking in and out of the lounge, getting his dinner and going and playing his games, we sat down on the lounge floor and Karen just started walking me through the steps. And Karen is a trained therapist, so she's very skillful at it, but it was very new to her as well. And I encountered a young one in me probably for the first time that I was recognizing in exile, who had experienced her father's death at age 11. And this young one wanted to give up on the world and wanted to stop trying and wanted to just rest, wanted to sleep. And together, as we worked through the steps, you know, I sat with her and I let her sleep and helped her to sleep safely and with me taking care of things for her. And as that part of myself relaxed and I began to know that there was an inner terrain that had been rustling to be heard in my life, I then found in myself, you know, that strength to pick up and go again. And that was the start of my IFS journey. Much of which from then on happened outside a therapy room. So it was very much me and my parts. And then going to the training, I did IFS level one, IFS level two. I got excited about it because it was effective for me. So I was already experiencing it. So I was a keen learner, many of us are. And I started asking, and then I got enthused about how it could be brought into my work environment. I'm like, what if this was in my job? What if I, you know, these parts of me or this little one, if I was aware of this when I was on the stage and I was in these conflict situations, how would I be different? How would the room be different? You know, how would the people in front of me be different if I was using these tools? And so I pestered my trainers nonstop, poor old A-Nut. Some of you have, may have trained. I was constantly hand up in the class. So if this was a larger group, what would you do? But what if this was in a group setting? But what if this was business and you couldn't use the language of IFS? But what if? But what if? And I started trying to read everything I could find, and I really could not find anything on IFS outside of the room at that stage of things. Maybe a wee touch on coaching, but that was one-on-one. And when we were talking about groups and books, it tended to be more like a group therapy setting, which is not what I do. So for me, the journey was of trying things out in my work setting, and then finding out if they worked or they didn't, how I would do it differently next time. And it was one big experiment. And everything I learned for a one-on-one or therapy setting, I tried on groups in business. And I've over the years, now I've got a repertoire of things that I think that are my go-tos. And of course, like everybody else, I'm still learning.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that journey. And I love how you being introduced to IFS, it just sounds very organic, very natural. You were talking with a friend, and it sounds like she was feeling called towards sharing that resource with you. And it was the right time in your life to receive that. And Emma, what was your journey to connecting with IFS?
Well, hearing Helen there, I think mine might be a bit similar because psychotherapy is my second career, and I had a sort of a manager collapse around 2000 and encountered therapy for the first time and met my husband around the time I first went into therapy, and then we got married the year after, so it was all quite quick. And then I retrained because we moved, so I wanted to do this thing that had helped me so much, so I got into psychotherapy. And then this was around 2000, and then 2013 or so, a friend of my husband's, who meanwhile had also retrained to become a therapist, a drama therapist — I was a talking therapist and an EMDR trauma therapist — my husband's friend said, "Hey, there's this book." I think they'd been to some intro with Dick, in London, and I'm the bookworm of the family, so I devoured this book, and it wasn't a manager thing, because I'd kind of my managers couldn't go back to how they were before I had the breakdown breakthrough thing, but my exes were like, "Oh, we want some of this. We want some of this." And my mum died in 2013 and left me a bit of money. So that was devoted to level one, level two, level three, et cetera, et cetera. So off we went, level one. And you just get hooked, don't you, really? And at first it was purely just for therapy. It was for my system, my healing. And then gradually the therapist part's like, "Oh, I think, we have to offer this. We have to learn how to give this, share this with people." So eventually my system kind of tussled and tussled and, began to use it in my practice as well.
And I'm curious, what were you doing before?
I was in publishing in London, in nonfiction. And my husband, when I met him, was a teacher, and now we're both IFS therapists.
Really? Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, beware, listeners, that it'll get you. You can cut that bit. You can cut back that bit.
Is amazing that both of you have a similar undertone in regards to the manager parts in particular, working overtime, and how when that happens, it can lead to our system feeling illness of varying kinds, shut down, overexhaustion, all of the things. And it sounds like for both of you, finding IFS, it happened for a reason. And how did the two of you find each other?
2021, the IFS conference went online, and so I took the opportunity to go because I don't really travel very well, so I wasn't going to get on a plane, and I was drawn to Helen's workshop. And it was very inspiring. It was kind of sort of similar to where I was at in terms of helping people locate themselves in relation to IFS, in relation to their context. What did they use? What didn't they use? What was their language? All of this. So I reached out to Helen and we connected online, and it just organically went from there.
It did. So Emma reached out and inspired me with the idea of writing a book. I liked it instantly because of my previous search where I'd been out looking for what was there, and there was nothing, or I felt like there was nothing that would have supported me at the time I was
Yeah.
doing my experimenting, and I got really keen to think, oh, we can fill this gap. And I don't mind challenging the system a little bit as well. And it was probably an accumulation of many a session that I'd sat through with people telling me all the things that we shouldn't do and the ways we don't do it, and maybe labouring the ethics that might apply inside a therapy room that I don't believe apply the same when in the real world out there as well. So professional
Right.
ethics for the job that aren't necessarily attached to IFS, and I was feeling quite a strong drive to liberate, like, no, you don't try it, try something new, push that boundary a little bit. You'll soon work out what fits for you and what ends up being right for the people that you're supporting. And I thought this is an opportunity to actually hear from others what they're doing, and others who are out there experimenting as well. So I got keen, loved the idea of a co-authored book, and also love the idea of it being from around the world, or just people that we knew, and that we could reach out to.
Yeah, very cool. Again, just very organic, right? You, Emma, was able to attend Helen's workshop at the conference and felt a connection, felt a pull, and reached out. And here we are, a book later.
And IFS does that, because I didn't used to be a reach out type of person, but with IFS, I've become much more of a reach out, ask. If you don't ask, you don't get, kind of. I've got more courage or more trust in stuff, I think, now.
That's amazing.
I recognized Emma's skill and experience in having written before, so it was easy for me to leap into this. I'm like, oh, Emma knows what she's doing. Good, let's do it.
That's great. So that level of openness and trust, and like you said, Emma, if you don't ask, then it may never happen. And so it sounds like, would you say doing your own IFS work, would you say maybe you've just been feeling more access to your self energy, more spaciousness within, to then be able to access that courage and that confidence, clarity, all of that, to then feel like, I can reach out to Helen and let's see if we can make this book happen.
And being what I call a wounded healer therapist, my journey's been constantly about trying to let go of all the fear, because my system was very, very fear dominated. And IFS has been a big part of shifting that balance. So, yeah. And I think doing this, it's a virtuous cycle. It's just been wonderful working with Helen and all the other, the contributors. And that builds more self energy in itself. And then this opportunity has come from that. And, this is enjoyable and great. And so it kind of builds on itself, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. Like Dick says, self-energy is contagious and it has a ripple effect. And so, in regards to the book, what is the intention, or what was the intention of creating and writing Freeing Self?
For me, it was to encourage others to have a go, and also to give people a platform to share how they've had a go. So it was sort of from the two angles. And my hope is that as people read the book, that they'll see things and think, oh, I was going to try that, or I might try that, or I did something like this. And when we did our early interviews of the contributors, so many of them said, oh, no, I don't think I've got anything to offer. And then when they started talking, they clearly did. They had so much to share on what they were doing in their own journey, but also how they were using IFS and how they were using it creatively and differently. And I remember a couple of times we had to really draw out of people what the techniques were that they were using, because a bit shy about them. And the reason they're a bit shy is they felt they were naughty, you know. So they felt they were doing something that they shouldn't do. And when you listen to it, though, they were using IFS in settings that were creative and effective. And so, for example, somebody using IFS, with their husband or with their son, they were, and sort of thinking, oh, I don't know that I'm supposed to be doing this. It's maybe too close, but we're having this incredible result and great connections, and it's really working. And it's and I, in my mind, I'm going, who made those rules? Who made those rules of what we can and can't and shouldn't do? This is how our psyche heals. It's there for all of us. People working with exiles, and again, there was lots of caution at the time I was training around exile work, and I remembered my own experience. Straight to an exile myself. It all happened, and so I was like, who's making rules around? We don't support other people if they're dealing with the exiles. Because this is what is happening for us in every day of our lives. This is already here. It's already here. We're already encountering. And if you can bring, if somebody comes alongside to support you in that, all the stronger, and bring their self energy to your discovery of your own parts, it just strengthens what's happening. So I didn't feel those same cautions that other people felt. And I hope that by putting a book out here, we could challenge some of the restrictions that were starting to come onto the IFS model itself.
Emma, do you want to add
And
anything to that?
well, for me, I think it's about hearing from people, so having a voice. So and I'm a bookworm, so I like reading people's stories. And also, I didn't want to homogenize. We didn't want to homogenize all the chapters, so they all sound the same. Or so in this book, even the punctuation, if it's UK punctuation and spelling in the European chapters, American in the American chapters. So it's like really, really welcome the diversity and the difference. So that was really important, I think, as well.
Yeah, I love that because then I feel like it becomes who says what's the right way.
I think we held that. That's a lovely statement. I've never heard it put like that, Natalie. But who says what's the right way is probably the foundational principle on that sat underneath our selection of people and how we wrote the book.
I love that. And that kind of goes in, yeah, to the next thing that I was curious about asking you both is I know that you broke the book into four different parts. The first part is New Zealand, second one is America, and the third is Australia, and the fourth is UK and Europe. And I'm curious to hear what made you decide to do that in terms of making those four specific parts and being very clear about that.
Again, that was an organic thing. That was a very late decision, because we'd already invited contributors. They'd already written. And I think putting the contents page together happened quite late. And we didn't want to do it alphabetically. That's not boring, but that's been done. And we had these really cool, illustrations of everybody. So it just made sense to use them on the outside and the inside. And we wanted to sort of highlight the fact that this isn't America centered. This is Helen's in New Zealand, I'm in the UK. So we top and tail the book, and then, America's in there as well. We didn't want to keep them out, keep America out, as it were, but we wanted it to be a quite a worldwide kind of thing. And I've got parts that love structures, and that seemed a logical structure.
No, I'd agree with that. I think it did just happen organically. Emma's got a great brain for structuring things, and I loved it when she suggested it. That's what we ran with. In fact, some of the writing and the structuring of the book came together really easily. That seemed to me the smoothest part. Where we struggled, if you want to know an author's struggle, is I got quite wound up about the cover. And Emma will remember that at one point she's like, just over to you, do what you need to do there. And I was looking for something that was vibrant and didn't look like a textbook, and was constantly unhappy with the options that were coming my way. And then in the end, just took charge and came back to Emma's original idea of having those cartoon figures and having them on the front and having just a great color. And I think again, we all the way through there was that not wanting to be boring, about our presentation, about how we put it together, not needing to stick to particular rules for the sake of it, but wanting it to work well for people to pick up the book and read it.
Definitely, looking at the cover, it's a unique cover that grabs your attention because it doesn't look like a textbook. It doesn't look like maybe a traditional, just kind of words on the page type book. And I love, so are each of these illustrations each of the contributors?
Yes, they are.
I love that. I didn't know that. That's a great little kind of tip to know when you buy this book that those are the writers. And like you said, you have their illustrations also at the beginning of each part. Yeah, I love it. It's so creative. And I love
Thank
the
you.
color. I
It's
love the
gorgeous
green.
color, gorgeous, isn't it?
Very pretty. And how did you decide, I guess, what topics to cover and who necessarily to reach out to? Was it more of finding people first that you were aware of, that you knew of, and then asking them, was there something that they wanted to write about, or was it vice versa? Was it the people and then the topics, or the topics and then the people?
I think it was the
Oh,
people.
start. Yeah, it was.
You
I was
carry
just
on,
going to
Emma.
leave in there too and say that, Emma, it was the people first. And when we talked to the people, we found out more about their topic and what the content might look like and actually helped them to shape the content. Our first group of people were, I think many of them were reluctant or just didn't see themselves as being experienced enough or knowing enough to be able to contribute to a book. Some of them absolutely did, so they were already out there writing materials or running podcasts, and this was an easy yes for them. But that we wanted that diversity again of knowing that some people had been in the journey for a long time and others were quite new. We didn't require people to be through their training or certified to be able to contribute to the book. We wanted all steps of the journey, people who are just starting out and people who were experienced. And that was what we found out as we talked to people. I was interested when we launched at the Colorado conference that the biggest response I had afterwards was people coming up to me and asking if there'd be a sequel and if they could be part of it, if they could contribute a chapter to the book. So we may not have that reluctance in the same way going forward, but we reached out to people that we knew personally or had heard of who were using IFS and other than therapy one-to-one.
I love that. Again, just I feel like the word so far that I'm hearing a lot is organic. That's what I feel like is kind of a theme here, that you were feeling drawn towards someone in particular, and from that connection with them, birthed the opportunity for a topic to come forward that was speaking to them as the individual that you were feeling drawn to.
Had questions, and I'll hand over to you to talk about the list of questions because I think that was important.
Oh, I can't remember the question. Sorry, Helen. No, it's just that I was going to say that this was an opportunity for them to write and share their passion, really, even if that's not how they saw it to start with. So it was organic for them almost as well. They didn't, Rick Kaler, who's the finance chapter, that's what he does. He's the first ever person to come up with the concept of financial therapy. So it's like that's where his heart is, and that's what he brought. And Ruth Colver and her art drawing into self, it comes from inside of her. And so we just harnessed that and put it down. I get or got them to put it down. Bit of coaching and.
And you mentioned questions, Helen. What are you talking about there?
Emma came up with it, and it's interesting you can't remember them now, Emma. I see them as really pivotal for the structuring of the conversations we had, and where there is lots of fluidity in how things are written. In fact, some chapters are significantly longer than others. I feel like Down this end of the globe, we tend to write a little pithier, so ours are shorter. When you move more towards America and UK, that some of the chapters get quite long, actually. And we allowed that difference. But what we did do is each author had a set of questions that they did write to, and we made sure that it was covered off in some way within their chapter, so that the same information was coming out. So there was a consistency. And that, for example, was questions like, what were you doing before, IFS, and what are you now doing afterwards? What aspects of IFS model are you using? Which ones aren't a fit? What are you not using? Do you have any ethical dilemmas when you're applying this in the way that you're applying, or any professional issues that you need to be aware of and consider as part of the work that you're doing? And those type of questions, and where do you plan to take this in the future? So all of these gave the chapters a bit of a focus and a flow, going from a personal journey. Most people have shared their personal journey in some way or another, gone and shared some component of more information so that people could imitate or think about or copy their techniques, and then closed with where they want to see it going in the future. And that flow throughout the chapters, I find really makes it easy to read, even with those other differences.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it also kind of like what we were discussing before we started recording. I think I was sharing with you all that a part of me loves having an outline and knowing when I'm doing a podcast interview, all right, I have these talking points that I'd like to cover. And then that leaves the spaciousness and openness to then add whatever else. And so I kind of get that vibe too, as you're describing that you had maybe these talking points or writing points for these co-authors. And then in the midst of the in-between, they can add themselves. That's beautiful. So I'd love to hear from each of you what some of your favorite stuff is in the book, because there's so much great information. And Helen, what is one of your favorite chapters within the book and why?
Well, I'm probably stealing Emma's favorite here now, but I really enjoyed Tyre Cutler's chapter, and I think it was the warmth that comes through in the earlier story. Tyre's story is one where he's come from some hardship, and I'm expecting that one of the reasons I like that is that it's very relatable for me as well, and for my parts. And then watching how that turned around for him in his IFS journey, and the openness with which he is still learning. Again, I felt like I personally related to that. So as a reader, when I read through the book, Ty's chapter was like, yes, that's me. Yes, I feel that. Yes, I still want to be open as well. And I think that's maybe the beauty of a book that has co-contributors to it, or all our contributors who have put themselves in there. Is somewhere out there is always going to be somebody who will relate to your chapter, and that's going to feel to them like I'm very close to their journey. And for me, it was time.
Thank you. Emma, what about you? What was one of your favorite chapters?
Well, I want more than one.
Well, you can mention more than one.
Okay, I will. Yeah. Well, Anna and Joel, the parenting chapter, I just loved the fact that they wanted to do it together. So there's a mom and a dad talking about parenting from their experience, and that meant we could do a nice sort of structure in there as well. So we heard from each of them at different stages of how they use IFS or how they parent without IFS. So that was really cool. And I loved Ruth Troughton's case examples. She's the mental health physiotherapist. So they're really exciting. But I think the one that I was most touched by, I think, was Nick Wilde's chapter. They're a therapist, so they're not a practitioner, as most of the focus is on, but they're kind of a very specific, they've got a very specific place in the world as a trans non-binary person. And it's a very vulnerable chapter. It's also very informative. So, and I don't know if we can say this, Helen, but we're working on the audiobook version.
We are.
And I've read
Nice.
Nick Wilde's chapter as part of that. And that's also, I think, why I'm quite close to that chapter. because it's very exciting having that project on the go.
Natalie, I'll be reading Joel and Emma's chapter with my partner
John and Emma.
Tony, so that's going to be a bit of fun as
Oh,
well.
that's so, I love that. So creative. I think that's wonderful. And yeah, thank you both for sharing little bits of your favorite pieces of the book. And I'm also curious to ask, what was something you learned after reading this book?
When I read the book and then met the people, I can almost can't separate them. So I met contributors, many of them at the conference, and the chapters of the book were such a reflection of the person, but also only captured a little. So, for example, when I met Rick, I read Rick's chapter and I was really fascinated by the depth of information that Rick put in his chapter. When I met him in person, I was fascinated by the depth of information that Rick carries as a person. So talking to him, I almost couldn't pull myself away. Ruth's chapter comes through as really creative when I read that. So I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I could use some of these. So I got quite inspired by her chapter. And when I attended her workshop, and she was incredibly creative in her workshop. It was just a hands-on, full-on get in there and try it out workshop, very like her chapter. Ty again, when I met him and his partner at the Colorado conference. And Ty's chapter, he talks about the dressing for success business that he's grown, and here he was dressed to the nines in the conference with an amazingly, immaculately turned out partner, at his side, and they looked just fabulous. Every room they walked into, it's breathtaking. And I thought people, what they had put into their chapter was who they really were. When I met them, it just all gelled, and I'm like, yep, this. We are actually getting a little part of somebody's life on the page, and it's pretty accurate.
And Emma, what was something you learned after reading the book?
Two things, because I'm going to take two things. I work with therapists mainly as a consultant or supervisor, and as they transition to IFS, there's a lot of identity exploration. Who are they as a therapist? And so it was really great to read Diana Duggan Richards' chapter, and really where she goes into her journey as she changes from one sort of professional identity to another, to another, to finally at the moment being an IFS nutrition therapist. So that was one. And then I also want to highlight Ty Kuttner, because sometimes therapists can be a bit binary, self good, parts bad. So I really learned from him, and I'm going to read a bit. He's talking about the men he's coaching, and he teaches them, instead of saying I'm mad, you say a part of me is mad. This gives you access to parts that aren't mad, so you can gain access to their strengths. And that's quite moving, that it's just this reminder that there are no bad parts.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for reading that. Because as I heard you read that just now, I just had kind of this feeling in this image of awareness of, yes, a part of me is angry. And like he was just inviting with those words, noticing what other parts are also present. Because there are other ones along with the angry one, and not just noticing maybe the part that's angry and then trying to connect more with self energy. It's, yeah, let's get curious, which is self energy. Let's get curious and open about noticing and connecting with all the parts in the room. And that's a beautiful reminder.
And I
And
guess
the
that's what they all brought. They all brought their whole systems to this book, and they bring their whole systems to their work. It's self and parts in their unique, wonderful, our unique, wonderful full configurations.
And our parts hold resources and self energy. I love that. And so, what do you both hope the readers gain after reading this book?
I could build on what you're saying, talking about there, because what I hope readers will gain is encouragement to bring them whole their whole selves into the experience of learning IFS as well, and then as they do, bringing IFS and all of that into their work environment in a way that works for them, and into their home environment and into their church and their community and where else, wherever else they express themselves. And that's what I hope this book will encourage, is rather than shutting down our curiosity or shutting down our courage to try something new or shutting down our compassion in a moment because we're still holding on to things that we think are right or wrong, that we actually just bring everything in and be prepared to work with that. Maybe it's that word you've been using, organic. Maybe organically allow the system and trust our own systems and the parts and the wisdom that they bring in that situation to, if we're in self, it is a safe place because we are bringing, we're aware of any agendas and parts with strong agendas. We are tapping into the strength and courage and we're laying down some of those agendas and allowing more space as we move into a place of self. There, things can happen that are completely unexpected. And I'm hoping that it will encourage people to seek out that unexpected and then have those rewards from it. I probably, to give an example, because that sounded slightly waffly to myself when I said it, so I'm going to give you an example as well. This week I was in a meeting. It was a meeting I was leading. It was with the mayors and the MP and Leeds and Health, and it was a pretty intensive and full-on meeting. And I surprised myself by bringing parts that were really frustrated with what was going on and very aware of power dynamics in the room, and expressed that more than I normally would. So, arguably, was I being less professional than I usually would in that setting, or was I being more present and more authentically myself? And that even this week was an experiment for me, to what level was I going to show the frustration I was feeling in front of this group or in front of different parties in the group in such an important setting for my work career. And as I did, I came away from it, I thought, wow, that was a little different, Helen. I was, just checking with myself. I was like, oh, that's a little what you did just there from what you would normally do. And it's like, is that okay? And then I'm like, I think it is, and I was checking in with a couple of people later as well. I said, oh, I might have just, and they're like, oh no, they're like, I'm constantly frustrated. And I realized by expressing some of my own emotion in the moment, I was mirroring what other people were sitting on as well and feeling, and felt like they weren't able to say. And in fact, it was a strength, to bring that into the room in that occasion. Another occasion, it might not be the right thing to do, but as we're more self-led, and we'll find out what it is for us. And I'm still finding out. And this is what I'm hoping for people who read the book, that they just get really encouraged to take that, to take that next step for themselves. Where else might they use IFS? Where else might they introduce it? Where might they apply it that they haven't done before?
Oh no, I love that as well. I only want to really give three words. I don't want to take away from what Helen just shared. Inspiration, growth, and maybe comfort, because things are happening in the IFSI world.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing those. Well, thank you both for sharing this book and for inviting the opportunity for all of these individuals around the world to speak from their systems and to share with others how they incorporate parts and self outside of the therapy room. Because I always like to tell clients that I'm working with too, you're only with me sometimes for 50 minutes, some people once a month, maybe some once a week, once every 2 weeks. And the rest of that time is outside of this space. And that is your life. And so thank you so much for writing a book representing all these other aspects of where we can use this awareness of parts and self and IFS. So thank you both. And before we end, I do want to invite you both to share with the listeners anything you want to share about updates about this book, other projects that you're doing, services that you provide.
I'm still consulting, so best way if people want to reach out to me is probably via LinkedIn. Helen Foote, I'm a program management professional, so you'll sort of recognise that in New Zealand it's got PMP alongside my name. So Work-wise, I'm still here, still doing the same things. I've also been doing some IFS training in New Zealand with my friend Karen Harrington, who was the friend who we opened the book together. We've since gone through and become, he's a certified IFS therapist and I'm a certified IFS practitioner. We're now training in New Zealand under IFS Kiwi, it's called. So this is very much about IFS as New Zealanders do it, and for Karen as our mana whenua, or effectively our indigenous culture Māori, and we're tailoring our sessions to be a good fit for our local culture. And I also, the breaking news from my corner of the world is we now have an IFS Aotearoa New Zealand Incorporated Society, and that is a growing group of members across New Zealand who are interested in IFS and are being trained and are using IFS. And how, from and being trained by a number of different training bodies as well. So we're an interest group. We're going to start sharing information. We're developing websites where we can remain connected and therefore can connect with each other and our geographical location as well. So it's something for New Zealanders, and I'm enthusiastic about that. I think it's helpful to maintain a strong and independent body around IFS in our country, and it will give New Zealand a voice in the IFS community that's more consolidated and agreed or together. So looking forward to that. And from there, just over to you, Emma. The audio book, I guess, is the next thing out. We've already broken that news. Emma.
Well, people can find out what I'm up to on my website, which is emmaredfern.co.uk or emmaeredfern.com. But yes, the audiobook will hopefully be out relatively soon. I've also joined the Land of Podcasting with a colleague in Ireland, Gail Williamson, and I think we've got four podcasts out now, and they're quite practical. And we're getting lovely feedback about how helpful that is in a practical sense in terms of doing IFS. Yeah, so
That's great. And what's the name of the podcast?
purely IFS.
And I will put all of these things in the show notes so people listening can go to that and have easy access to that information and to those links.
Thank you.
I'm just going to wiggle in with one more thing. So, I just wanted to put out an acknowledgement for Mary Steeg, who wrote the introduction for our book. And we've talked a lot about the heart of the book and where it's come from and the principle that sits underneath it. And for me, that was all Mary. So Mary's been a huge part of my IFS journey and my IFS supervisor as I was moving through my certification and has supported me since. And it was her modelling and living that that has set me down this journey of thinking that there is more and we can go wider and broader. And so thank you to Mary for that.
Well, again, I'm so honored and grateful that we were able to connect today and to talk about and get more in depth about this beautiful book. And I'm just so grateful to have heard both of you discuss how this, I'm going to say the word organic again, this organic experience happened. So thank you both so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you all so much for joining me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, give it a rating, and leave a review. You can also follow me on Instagram at Natalie Deering and sign up for my newsletter on my website, ndwellnessservices.com, to receive updates about podcast episodes, workshops, and more.